holiday season. I'm old-fashioned. I still say Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas. But it is a neat time of year because even though there are some that want to be bah humbug and try and say there's problems with it, to me, the focus of this time of year is to remind us to be thankful. Again, it should be something we do every day. Pam has shared her testimony about last year. She just felt the Lord. So every day she sent a thank you card out. And it's easy for, we are trained to be complainers. I still remember the day, a football game here a couple years ago. The quarterback went like 29 of 30 in his passing. One pass went incomplete. And what did they focus on?
The one.
And unfortunately, that's kind of the way we are raised. Whether it's sports, it's like, oh, they had a really good game, but they made this one mistake that, you know, or, oh, that was really good, but this could have been better. We are really raised in an attitude with that thing where we are critical and many times have a bad attitude. Not that it's bad to evaluate. It's always good to evaluate. What could I have done better? But not to the place where we're not thankful for the blessings that we do receive. I know Kelly's brother-in-law, you ask him how he's doing, he says, better than I deserve. Because he recognizes that everything is a blessing from God. So one thing I did want to mention, I didn't tell Kelly about it because I kind of forgot to tell her about it. Out on the guest services desk, there are some Advent calendars. There should be enough, one for every family. And you're thinking, well, it's a little early. Well, it starts December 1st. So we thought between this week and hopefully next week, everyone will have a chance to pick one up. And just a little something, again, every day to remind us of the season and why we celebrate. It's the coming of Jesus to be our Savior and our Lord. And that is something to be thankful for and reminded of. So guess what? Today I'm going to preach about being thankful and that how we're full of God's blessings. And we're going to start out with a little video from the Skit Guys.
I'm full. Pops, you full?
I haven't been this full since Truman dropped the big one.
Nana, are you full?
I'm as full as my purse! Becky, are you full?
You know it, G-Ma.
Full does not describe the sheer amount of fullness I'm feeling right now. Billy, what about you?
I'm super full.
Hey, it's Crazy Uncle Carl!
Hey, Billy!
Hey, Crazy Uncle Carl, are you full?
I'm crazy full! Hey, Scam! Are you full? He's full. I'm fuller than a lobster boat on the moon.
I'm fuller than Mom when she breaks her low-carb diet.
I'm fuller than Hawaii, the three states underneath it.
I'm so full I need Mom's maternity pants. Hashtag oh snap.
I'm full in my whole body. How about you, Tom Selleck? I'm full.
I'm so full you're gonna have to carry me out of here.
I'm as full as a tick in a blood bank.
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm full.
Full.
Hashtag F-U-L-L.
I'm full.
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 I'm full! I'm full.
Well, if everyone's full, let's eat.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so full. So full of your joy, and full of your grace and your hope. Father, we're full of your peace and your love. And for that, we're thankful. Amen.
Amen.
Carl, I thought you were bringing great-grandma Nuna with you.
Is it time to eat?
Are we full? And we really are. We are full of God's blessings. And one of the verses that talks about being thankful, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. So often we do 18, but I think we miss the point of we can be thankful because of these first two things that it talks about. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Those things go together. That joy that comes from knowing that God is a part of our lives, is at work in our lives, so we never stop praying. And in this regard, I think what Scripture means here and the Spirit means here, it's not that we never ask God, it's not about asking God to be that great candy dispenser in the sky. So often that's how we think of prayer, unfortunately, is God give me this, God give me that. But that prayer is relationship with God, talking with God, sharing our lives with God, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our concerns. We're joyful because God's a part of our life, and we're constantly talking with Him, relating with Him, hearing His voice, because prayer is a two-way conversation. I think most of the time God speaks to us through the Scriptures. How many of you have found, like me, that many times when I'm asking God for an answer, it amazes me, even when I'm following a daily Bible reading guide, that somehow the answer is found in that portion that I'm reading that day. Now, there are those that kind of like to do the, okay, I'm going to flip it open and read something. Don't be like the fella that asked the Lord for direction, and he opened his Bible up and closed his eyes and put it on his finger on a verse, and it says that he went out and hanged himself. And he's thinking, well, I'm not sure that's a good answer. So he did it again, and his finger landed on the verse, whatsoever you do, do it quickly. That's maybe not always the best way to do it, though I do know some people that have said, okay, God, I don't know what to do, and did that, and the answer was there. But let the Spirit give you wisdom as you do that. But that joy in the Lord in our life, that constant relationship we have with Him, allows us to be thankful in all circumstances. Not that we're glad for the circumstances, but if you've been a Christian very long, you've learned to see God works through the circumstances of our lives. And for that, we can be thankful. Even silly things like my robo arm here, which is doing well, healing nicely. But I've learned to be thankful for little things like being able to make your own toast with peanut butter and jelly. I couldn't do that for the first couple of weeks. Now I'm able to fix my own breakfast. Praise the Lord for that. Little things even like this morning we had some folks step up and help out, helping Kelly tote food in for lunch today. And please do stay around. We've got lots and lots of food. Things I would normally be able to do that I can't do right now. I'm not thankful that I can't do them, but I am thankful that it reminds me of how much I do have to be thankful for, and thankful for friends that can step in and help when I'm not able to do things. So we have our physical blessings, our material blessings, but we have our spiritual blessings as well. I didn't put it down here, but I'm thinking of how Paul starts his letter to the Ephesians. Verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God provides what we need here, but He also provides what we need spiritually. And some of those things that I want to focus on this morning, the father who is praying in that video mentioned five things that we're full of. He says we're full of joy, we're full of grace, we're full of hope, we're full of peace, and we're full of love. And obviously, that's a good start. It's not all the blessings we experience from God. But I want to briefly look at three of those this morning. First, that we're full of joy. As it says, always be joyful in 1 Thessalonians. Psalm 16 says this, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. That's a focus especially on Jesus and the resurrection, but it applies to us too. Verse 11 says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with everlasting pleasures at your right hand. Isn't it a wonderful thing for us that the Lord fills us with joy in his presence? To me, there are very few things in life that compare to experiencing that presence of God in such a profound way. I've experienced it just as I've worshiped the Lord at home alone so many different times. One in particular I remember all the way back in high school, back when we had record players. You remember record players? But I just received or bought Andre Crouch live at Carnegie Hall. And for those of you who don't remember Andre Crouch, go look him up on YouTube. I'm sure there's stuff out there. Just his story is that his dad was a pastor. Their church needed a piano player. He sat Andre at the piano and said, God, you know this is what we need. Gift my son with the ability to play. And he started learning and, you know, ended up becoming a Christian recording artist, and God used him to bless so many people. Well, he was big in my day. But as I'm just listening to that and that live thing, and as they're worshiping the Lord, and they just did that little simple chorus, hallelujah. And as I'm praising the Lord with that, God refilled me with his Holy Spirit in my bedroom at home that day, just as I was worshiping the Lord. That joy that comes from being in the Lord's presence. And I hope you've experienced it too, those times where maybe in a worship service where just the presence and power of the Lord comes down so powerfully, and some cry and weep in his presence and others shout. We had a friend one time that it was an amazing thing. They had the altars there, the altar benches, and in between the front pew and the platform, and there wasn't as much room as there was here. And he just got happy in the Holy Spirit one day as we were worshiping the Lord. He starts dancing and jumping around, and there's people at the altar there, you know, kneeling down. And I don't even know why. I guess his shouting kind of got my attention. I'm watching him, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I know he's happy in you, and I believe it's in you. You know, my thought is, he's going to trample somebody. But he didn't. But those times that are so precious to us, that joy that comes from knowing the Lord and being in his presence. And the beautiful thing is it doesn't just happen when we're worshiping him or when we're gathered together at church. For us as believers, that's the beauty of Jesus said, I have to go away so that if I go away, the Holy Spirit can come. He will be with you, but he will be in you. I mean, that's why the new covenant that Jesus established, you go back and read through the book of Hebrews and keep saying, Jesus is better, the new covenant is better. Why? Because the presence of God is not, in a sense, restricted for his people in a temple or a tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, where it dwells alone. The presence of God is with us. He lives in us. We are his temple. Remember that little chorus? We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Hallelujah. That's why we have that joy. We don't have to go somewhere to find the Lord when trouble comes our way or circumstances go against us. He is there with us. Jesus said in John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. But what does this refer to? Well, let's go back to verses 7 through 10 of John 15. Jesus said this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. What brings that fullness of joy? Abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word, seeing him answer our prayers, seeing him bear fruit in our lives, abiding in his love, keeping his commandments, living for the Lord brings us joy. God forbid that we be sourpuss Christians. We should, not that we walk around, weird happy like we're on drugs. No. But there is a joy in our hearts that comes from knowing I'm in right relationship with God. God is a part of my life. He's working in my life. He's just not out there somewhere. He's in here. He lives in me. He loves me. As we talked a little bit about in Sunday school this morning, talking more about relationships, but that idea that Jesus, as he's talking in that upper room with the disciples in John 14, he says, I got to go away for a little while. Just like a bridegroom in those days would, after the engagement, he would take the time to build a place for his bride-to-be to come and live with him. Jesus said, I'm going to my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also. That joy that comes from knowing one of these days, Jesus is going to come back just like he said he would. And he's going to take us, and we're going to go as his bride to celebrate with him where he is. Wedding feast and all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're full of joy. We're also full of hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 say this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a living hope of salvation. We have entered into right relationship with God. Again, God is at work in our lives every day. And we have that promise of eternal life in his presence. I love that, the way Peter describes it, giving us new birth into a living hope. Thank God for that hope that we have. The sad truth is that there are many places in our world right now where those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, what sustains them is the hope that they have in Jesus. Many of them are destitute. Many of them are persecuted. Many of them are being tortured for their faith, trying to get them to recant their faith in Jesus. What sustains them? The hope they have in God. When you read through what Jesus talked about, and when he said, don't fear those who can only kill the body but are then or done, fear him who can not only kill the body but cast the soul into hell. That understanding we have that there's nothing better for us, nothing greater for us than our faith in Jesus Christ. That whether by way of the grave, whether that's through persecution, or God gives us a long life and the day comes when the people carry us, put us in the ground. We know and we have that hope that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we think, we don't like to think of, I mean, that's not fun to think about. But we also know historically that many times the thing that has prompted growth in the church is when the church has been persecuted, when the enemy has tried to wipe us out, the hope that sustains us and people see how Christians die. When Nero wraps them up and wrapped Christians up in cloth and soaked in oil and used them as lamps for a garden party, we go, that's horrible. How could that happen? But the people that were there, so many of them later testified how these people faced death, somehow convinced me that their hope was true. What they talked about was true. It's easy to live for God when everything's going our way. Where's our faith? Where's our hope when it seems like everything is falling apart? That's when our testimony perhaps is the strongest. The writer to Hebrews said this, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Thank God we don't have to fear death. Doesn't mean we're going to go running for it. Or look at necessarily going out of our way to look for it, but we don't have to fear it. Because we know we have that hope that when I breathe my last here and open my eyes again, I get to see Jesus face to face. In fact, the Apostle John wrote that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Whoever has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. That hope we have of says, I'm going to live for God because the day is going to come when he's going to come back either for me as part of his spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. We used to sing that song. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Or he's going to come for me at that moment of death and I get to be in his presence. And that is an anchor for us. Like Job, we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And then at the end, that he will stand on the earth. And after my flesh or my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. All the way back to Job, maybe the very first book of Scripture ever written. But that confidence he had, and you know what Job went through. And yet that hope that we would see him face to face. Again, back to the book of Hebrews. The writer to Hebrews says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We're full of joy, we're full of hope, and we're full of grace. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 8 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. By grace we are saved. We experience God's kindness through faith in Jesus. And it's God's grace that enables us to live for God in this world. Hallelujah. Thank God. Sometimes we forget how much God is on our side. Sometimes, I'll admit, it can be hard at times to look at people's lives, sometimes those we love, and think, God, where are you in all this? But the truth is, he's not far from us. And there have been many who have testified after they went, their lives were in the toilet. May not be a nice way to say it, but you understand what I'm saying. They were so far down, the only place to look was up. And God was there when they called out to him. Thank God for that grace. None of us deserve it. I'm thankful for his grace. I was not raised in a Christian home. In many ways, I think I was raised with Christian morals, but my parents didn't know the Lord until, thank God, after I came to know the Lord, they did. I didn't do anything to deserve what God has done for me. But I'm thankful for his grace. And God's grace not only brings us to salvation, but it helps us to learn to live for Him. In Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, we read this. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of our great of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. I'm so glad that the grace of God is at work in our lives every single day. When Paul was going through a tough time, he referred to it as the thorn in his flesh, and we don't know exactly what it was. We do know he had poor eyesight. We don't know for sure. All we know is that three times he prayed and asked the Lord to remove it from him. And each time God's answer was this: my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, the grace of God is there that helps us keep living for Him, even when we do not have the strength in and of ourselves. That grace enables us to keep living for God, keeps us full of hope, keeps us full of joy, because we know God has been good to us. It really is more than just a thing we say, that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Now, that doesn't mean that we deny reality. We go through hard times. We do. That's not what we're saying. Please don't misunderstand me. If you think I'm saying give your life to Jesus and you'll never have another problem, then you misunderstand me, my friend. But I will tell you this, that through everything you go through, you're going to find the Lord working on your side. That you don't always understand how God will work through it. Sometimes God works through things to transform us, to change us, to teach us to learn to trust Him more. Again, Andre Crouch, probably his most popular or most well-known song was Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Sometimes it's just the strength that God's grace gives us every day. It can be tough sometimes. How many of you have got up some mornings and said, Lord, I don't want to get out of bed today. I just want to turn over and sleep the day away. And yet somehow God gives us that grace and strength, and we get up and say, okay, God, with your help. And we make it through another day. Right? My mind always goes back when I talk about this to the story of Joseph. Talk about a guy who had a rough time. Was he heir apparent, so to speak? Had that coat of many colors that his dad gave him. Daddy's favorite. And yet, sold by slave. Well, his brothers were going to kill him. And one of them decided, why kill him? We're not going to get anything out of it. Here's some traitors. We'll sell him as a slave. His own family gets to Egypt and is falsely accused, ends up in prison. And even there, he does good things, but he's forgotten. Until the time comes when he's where he needs to be in God's timing, through all the bad, through all the hurt, he's where he needs to be for God to use him. And at the end of it all, after many years, and God works through them and saves his family, his confession is this. He goes, what you intended for evil, God intended for good, to the saving of many lives. We don't always understand. Matter of fact, I think this side of heaven, most of the time, we're not going to understand. But God's going to work through the dark times of our lives for His good and for His glory and for our benefit. Well, praise the Lord. We looked at this morning at just three of the things God does for us that we should be thankful for. That we are full of joy, that we are full of hope, and that we are full of grace. As we think about the blessings we receive from the Lord, may we develop hearts that are thankful, and not just at this time of the year. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, this morning we come to you, and Lord, we are so blessed in so many ways, Lord. May we truly be thankful for all of your blessings and how you work in our lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, if there had happened to be one under the sound of my voice this day that has not yet said yes to you, the Savior and Lord, that this day, this morning, they would just say that simple prayer, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. And maybe not in those exact words, but they would call upon you. And you tell us, Lord, that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that, God, they would begin to experience in their lives that fullness of your blessings. Lord, they can begin together with us to learn what it means to live as a follower of you and your blessings. Lord, in a little bit, we're going to head downstairs for a time of fellowship and thankfulness and sharing just around a table the joy that comes from knowing you and enjoying a good meal. Lord, I pray now that you would bless that time as we gather together. And Lord, that after that, doing the decorations, Lord, it would just be a fun day as the family of God as we do that. But Lord, help us to always be thankful. Praise the Lord. We've got